Welcome to Compassion Radio 360.
I think it's time for Compassion Radio 360, the inspiring end to every week with Compassion Radio. At least that's our hope.
Yes, exactly. Today's story is one that is really close to our heart because of past projects that we've been involved with.
Something that's really kind of woven into the very fabric of what Compassion Radio became.
Exactly.
In fact, they're one of the reasons why the name Compassion Radio became ours.
Yeah.
We were doing these projects with this particular ministry we'll describe later in the broadcast. And because of that, people understood the work itself was extremely compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the characteristics of the entire project, and people's hearts were moved deeply to be involved with that. And the need's still there. That's what this article is all about.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the world, and we're seeing not just echoes of what we were involved with 20 or so years ago and continuing to be involved with now today, but we're seeing a resurgence of the need, which is, in that way, kind of depressing for me.
Yeah.
Have we not made any progress on this issue? Well, for a lot of lives, we certainly have, and the church is more certainly aware of the issues we'll talk about. But the need seems to be getting greater, and that's what grieves my heart.
Yeah. This article has to do with infants who are basically deserted, abandoned by their parents. And it's a sad topic, but unfortunately, for some people, there is no escape. There's no way out of the situation. They realize, in some ways, I cannot care for this infant the way it deserves to be cared for. I don't want to do something injurious to the baby, but I have to figure out how to find safety for this baby.
Well, we hope that any mother who's desperate enough to think, I'm stuck, I don't even have enough to provide for my own child, I don't know what to do next, would try to think, there must be something.
Right, right.
Sometimes they can't get that far.
Right.
This is not in the least an indictment against anybody who's been desperate.
No.
Because the whole purpose of the project that we're going to read about has to do with reaching those mothers, reaching those families who are so desperate they can't even think a next step.
Right.
And what amazes me as we look at this article again is that the need is right here in America.
Mm-hmm.
It was a project we were focused on internationally for years, especially in South Africa, when they were dealing with huge waves of immigration coming in from Central Africa. And they were like one of the last bastions of hope on the continent of Africa at the time. They had just gone democratic. They had just opened up their economy. They had just become multiracial and multinational in their attitude and in their welcome. And then the desperation starts when people can't find work in the golden light cities of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they are left scraping on the streets and starving.
Right.
So children started to be abandoned. And not just any children. They weren't left there to go out and beg and hold their own. We're talking about infants who cannot do a single thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was also at the height of the AIDS epidemic when this all began. Pretty soon, dozens, hundreds of children per year were being abandoned on the streets of Johannesburg alone, dying in the streets. And the news reports were coming in that people were finding dead babies mm-hmm. around the city and how traumatic that was for those who were discovering them.
Right.
Nobody knew what was causing it or why it was suddenly so prevalent, so obvious, but that something was drastically wrong with the social safety net and with the hope within the society, with the lack of opportunities. It all became suddenly grossly apparent that something had gone very, very wrong in their society.
Mm-hmm.
And the government was stuck. They didn't know what to do about it. And then enters somebody that we met.
The Allen family was burdened by this, lived in Johannesburg, and decided we have to do something. We have to figure out a way to help these mothers find a safe place to leave their infants.
Because there was no safe place at that point.
Exactly.
And that was the hard reality. How did the church miss this for so long? That was what burdened their hearts as
mm-hmm.
a family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a mission family that was living inner city in the hardest neighborhoods in Johannesburg, trying to keep a small fellowship alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it had just recently become multiracial. It had finally, in their own church, broken down the apartheid divide themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were babies, really, in multiracial, multi-ethnic membership of the same fellowship of believers. It seems strange to us in modern America to think it would take something as obvious as a need like this to wake them up as something so simple as saying, Black people and white people live in our community. Why can't they worship together?
Mm-hmm.
But this opened up a whole bunch of new stuff. They said yes to what God told them they absolutely needed to do for these babies.
So in their hearts was born Door of Hope. And then in the wall of their church building was installed a Door of Hope, literally. And it's a place that women could bring their infants and leave, and no one would question any of it. A bell would ring and someone would go out on the other side of that wall and get the infant out, and then they would take care of it. Well, we loved that story. When Norman Scherer actually first presented it on Compassion Radio all those years ago, our listeners just went nuts about it. They loved it and wanted to do everything possible to help. Fast forward to, you know, the 2020s, there's a great need here in America. And sad as that is, this has been criminalized to abandon babies. And it sounds like a terrible thing. But if you are, like you said, honey, that desperate and no one is helping you, and then to be criminalized for that, what options are there?
There were very few states even 10 years ago that would allow safe harbor for children of people who were desperate enough to leave them behind. Mm-hmm. In fact, you could not even take a baby anymore to the police station and have them take it to be checked out without being arrested for doing it.
Exactly.
So what is a mother to do who is maybe drug addicted, maybe is mentally ill, maybe has just been turned out of their house and been chased out because of some abuse happening in their home and they're living on the streets? Whatever the reasons, they were out of a safe place to start with. Mm-hmm. The world is now completely hostile to them. They have nobody to fall back on, nobody to lean on, and no church is willing to take them in. Even states had to rethink this and say, you know what? We cannot criminalize desperation.
Yeah.
So they exempted hospitals and fire departments, who are first responders and caretakers and healers, exempted them from the mandatory rules to enforce laws. Whoever comes to you who needs help, help them. Do not turn them over to the police just because they're trying to seek help. Some states have finally loosened that and separated the issue of desperation from criminality. So hope revive.
Right.
An opportunity begin to see that children could be saved.
Well, there's an organization nationwide called Safe Haven Baby Boxes.
Inspired by the Door of Hope.
There are, throughout the United States, 30 of these boxes. They're hoping to increase that. Well, this story is about a specific place that I read about a few weeks ago in Texas. In Abilene, Texas, a Safe Haven Baby Box was installed, the very first one in the state of Texas at a fire department in Abilene. Now, a year or so ago, Texas passed the Baby Moses Law, which does what you said, honey. It exempts these places from reporting mothers who drop their babies off. But it was still very difficult, and they weren't seeing the result that they wanted to see because of this law.
Well, think about it. At the beginning of the Door of Hope Project in South Africa, they were in an inner city environment where they literally had video cameras on the edge of the church because they had been vandalized so many times. Mm-hmm. They had to literally remove a camera from outside along the wall because women who were thinking about using this box would walk by and check it out, would just keep going by when they saw those cameras. Mm-hmm. They assumed that they were going to be caught.
Right.
So the church had to put a notice there. We have removed our camera for those of you who need to use our box.
Yeah.
The same thing applied to going into a fire department or into a hospital. Mm-hmm. If you walked in, you're going to pass all kinds of security cameras. The disincentive for trust was very, very high.
Absolutely.
So this fire department took their cue from that experience in South Africa and said, we are going to make it completely anonymous. We're going to allow people to actually present the babies the same way they did in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's read some of that article.
Chief Candy Flores with the Abilene Fire Department told the news outlet, we're in the business of saving lives, and we have lots of equipment to do that. And to us, this baby box is another piece of equipment that allows the public an opportunity to go somewhere anonymously. It's safe, and we can provide something for their child that normally they're not able to. That is the beginning line of this article, and I think that is so beautiful that she's saying this is a piece of equipment that we will use to care for someone that you can't. Just like when you call 911 and the EMTs come to your house, they have equipment that we don't have at our house to take care of you. And it is a great way to look at this. This is a utilitarian thing for us. It is a safety net for these young moms or moms, period, that can't take care of their babies. It's a piece of equipment that the firefighters and the EMTs and even some police stations who have these around the country can use to care for tiny infants that are needy.
It is an apparatus. Like the jaws of life can cut you out of a crashed car. This box is going to enable you to place something out of your hands, but at the same time, to give life. So what is the difference between a baby dying in a dumpster somewhere and making it into the warm arms of somebody inside of a fire station? It is literally the bridge to life.
Yeah.
We've had the opportunity many times over the years to interview some of the children that Door of Hope saved in South Africa beginning in 1999 onwards. These are all contributing adults now. Many of them study in the United States at universities. They've taken their specialties back to improve the lives of others in Africa. Or they moved on to other countries and keep serving. It's like every child that was raised up in this culture becomes a world changer. That's one of their mission statements. We're not just trying to save children. We're trying to get them placed and encourage them and become a family to them over the years they grow up, that they would know us as the aunties and uncles. They would not just be passed off anonymously to somebody else and left to their devices. They are invested in the lives that God brings them through that door.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
It's just beginning now in America, but the very same mission statement of providing a way for the impossible become possible, a death to life situation become a reality. It's a resurrection. It's bringing back to life the potential of a life.
Exactly.
And it works. It has always worked. The thing that troubles me, it has for all these years, is why doesn't the church see it first? And I don't want to make this an indictment because, frankly, we're just not equipped for it. We don't get taught early on, you love Jesus. Now, this is how you put it into practice right here, right now. And here are the needs all around us. Let's pick a few and start picking them off. Very few churches have dedicated themselves to start there, saying this is where discipleship begins. This is what it means to mete out God's love on a daily basis. There are very few places where the churches themselves step up and say, we'll take the lead. Usually, we expect the government to pick up the tab for and to invest in the lives of those who seem less fortunate. The kind of people that probably would not be able to put a dime in our collection plates, that would not be tithing to us every week. We don't want the burden, quite often, of the responsibility and the cost of bearing up lives. Well, I'll tell you what we've seen happen in South Africa is that every child that's come through there is a productive citizen. They are motivated. They are missional. They are on task to make life worth something. They know they were saved, and they were saved to something and for some reason. It's for their joy and adventure to figure out what that is. Why did God let me live?
There's a great backstory to the Safe Haven baby boxes here in America. It has to do with the founder, Monica Kelsey, who started this when she found out as an adult that she had been abandoned as an infant.
Wow.
She saw a baby box in operation at a church in Cape Town, South Africa.
There you go.
She then made it her personal mission to educate others on safe haven and how that affects people, how a safe haven law can help people just like her. So she saw what Door of Hope had started in Johannesburg and then into Cape Town as well.
So the connection is direct.
Yeah.
That's marvelous.
Yeah. So she knows what it means to grow up not knowing where you come from and having been abandoned in her life. So she wanted to make sure that she could pay this forward. She was somehow saved and brought into a family and grew up safely.
Yeah.
and wanted to make sure that other infants have that same opportunity. And then when she saw what Door of Hope was doing, she thought,
like him on.
I've got to do this here in the United States.
It's the stats that she discovers when she gets back to the States, too, and what we're finding out about the situation of abandoned babies in all the states of the United States that floored me even today.
To date, she says that at least 43 babies have been surrendered in the baby boxes around the country.
Great.
And they're hoping that the word gets out and more women are willing to take this giant risk and go to these places to surrender their infants when they know they cannot
care for them. Giant perceived risk, right? We fear that we're going to be punished for doing what we know is the right thing, but will be judged as being very selfish.
Well, historically, they have been punished for this.
Yes.
It's not an unfounded fear for them. It is a very real thing. If you think about especially a young girl who has gotten pregnant by whatever circumstance, who has been possibly raped, there is abuse, they're on the streets trying to make their way and have no means of support but to sell themselves. There's a lot of stories that we don't really know how these women get into these positions.
True, and we don't want to put them in a box or say there are three things that always happen that causes this problem.
Exactly.
There are a million stories of desperation.
Right.
And some seem ridiculous to us. Like, why would you even think you wouldn't have help available to you? Well, because their minds and hearts are locked because of some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't on the streets, they were left thinking, I have no way out.
Right.
So however that lie gets into them, or the truth for that matter, they really do have no other way out, they still end up with the same conclusion. I can do nothing, but this I can do.
I am so grateful for these kind of brave ministries that go out there and say, listen, we don't know what's going to happen to you, but you need to understand that your child will be cared for. We will do everything in our power to make sure your child is safe and raised in a safe environment and taken care of. Stop the cycle of trauma at this place. Now, I wish I could go and hug these women that are that brave to bring their children to these boxes, because I can't imagine the trauma that they must experience having to give up their child.
And it is very rare that one of the mothers who has abandoned a child to a box like that gets an opportunity to reintegrate with the relationship with the child or the people who saved that child. It is very rare, but it does happen from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, our daughter Dempsey got a chance to go visit the Door of Hope original children's home there in Johannesburg and came away profoundly moved, of course, but also seeing how practical it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a well-oiled machine because they had a lot of years of experience in this. But again, they were a family of first report. After that, they would be extended, hopefully, to adoptions with other families in South Africa and continue their journey, but never losing the relationship with the Door of Hope that they came through. That was their ethic. They wanted to make sure they stayed connected like a good extended family should. They ran into their loggerheads the first year, too. They had saved a few babies, but the word had not really gotten out yet. People didn't know what was even available to them. They didn't know how they could use it. They didn't know if they were safe to go use it. They had to win over the police in the city, the doctors and nurses at hospitals. They had to win over politicians to make sure they didn't pass the laws against it. They had a whole mission to win the hearts and minds, not just of the mothers, but of their entire culture, the city they lived in. And it was the police officers first.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the earliest stories came in from the police officers that had to find these abandoned and dead babies. They were traumatized.
Absolutely.
And they didn't want to see it happen again. So they went out and printed their own business cards, and they just started giving them out in the ghettos. And in those neighborhoods, like, if you know anybody who has a problem with this, these people can help. Just do it. Call. Stop by. They won't ask any questions. They will never report you to the police. Just let your friends know that there's a way out. Now the question I want to ask is, why Abilene, and what's really going on in Texas now that makes it so invaluable?
Well, the thing that came to light in Texas that was so disturbing to these lawmakers, the reason that they proposed the Baby Moses Bill, was because it was found that over 100 babies are abandoned every year in the state of Texas.
In Texas alone.
In Texas alone. And 16 of those babies will be found dead. So it was a huge problem. It is a huge problem. And they want to do something to stop this terrible situation.
And it's not getting any easier with the change in politics and the laws in the past years and the reversal of Roe v. Wade with no plan for care for the children that would be born to desperate mothers already. There's now a growing crisis on what to do to care for the babies that are going to be born Our position at Compassion Radio has nothing to do with a moral judgment against anybody who's desperate. Because if we did, there'd be no way we could come to Jesus, period, because Jesus would be judging us for our desperation. God does not judge us for our desperation. I do believe he judges us for our choices we make that affect others and drive them to desperation. But I don't think being desperate is a sin. It's just a reality. The question is there hope? Is there people and systems and organizations and churches ready to take on the challenge of bringing hope to people, real hope, not a moral lesson of how to be a better person, but the real help that means you can put your hope to the test with us. We will be the ones you can test and see if God is good or not by how you see us respond to your need and how we love you through all of this and love your children. Are we up to the challenge? Well, frankly, I would say no, we're not until we decide we're going to be and change our own culture enough to say our first priority is the real lives of the real people that are really around us and care for them like Jesus did and does and has been doing for thousands of years through his church. When we take that on seriously again, we could take every child that's in need in this country and do something about it. We really could.
What you said earlier, honey, about the church needing to step up more into this issue. There are a lot of crisis pregnancy centers around the country. There are a lot of places for unwed mothers. There is a lot of stuff happening that is parachurch related.
Yeah, and they're usually crisis oriented. They deal with an acute issue right then. Yes.
Yeah. The thing that resonates with my heart is that Jesus himself was so focused on children. He talks a lot about children in the scripture. Mm-hmm. He talks a lot about be like a child, act like this. When you see kids doing this, behave that way, you know? And he says, let them come to me. Let the kids come to me and don't hinder them from that. Yeah. And he says that in the book of Matthew. And he says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like these children. So he's saying that the innocence of a child is sacred and important, and we need to pay attention to that as grown-ups. Don't get so far removed from the heart of innocence that you are blinded to the things in the world that really matter.
Yeah, or let your dogma or your politics put a barrier between you and real people.
Yeah.
There's something that's got to transform in us, that we are truly called upon to be a beacon of hope for those who really need us, need Jesus. That's what our biggest hope is, and it's not even, for me, a tender, feely-good kind of thing. It is about practical theology. Mm-hmm. Either God is good and is good to his children and means it when he says, children are special to me, or all bets are off and we can define who's valuable and who's not valuable.
Mm.
If we're going to say that life matters and we are pro-life people, it's got to be about the lives especially that God brings to us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of desperation, the door of hope, or in America, these safe haven baby boxes, the only thing that makes me sad about it again is that it's in the wall of a fire department rather than a church. I would so much rather that people who are well-trained and have been invested in by the congregation are ready to love on these babies and to then network with the health community and with the social welfare system and things will be necessary to bring them to full productive human beings in our society. I would love to see the church be the point of the spear here in dealing with this kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not in the least downplay the importance of what's really happening and that there is somebody that's on mission. Monica Kelsey in Indiana, who dreamt up this idea to bring the door of hope to America. Maybe not even knowing it was really even needed or how many babies were being abandoned. But as soon as you start digging, you start finding out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it's not to our credit that for living in Texas for 23 years, we even considered investigating how many children are being abandoned in our own state. Never even occurred to me, honestly, when I lived there, to focus on the needs right in my own community. This is reminding me that I have woefully missed opportunity myself in my lifetime to really care for, to motivate, to get involved with, or maybe raise money for things like these baby rescue boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there are great needs even in the state of Idaho where we live now. I don't know. I'm going to start asking around more. I would say that our challenge to you would be, pay attention. If the Holy Spirit's kind of knocking on your door here saying, are there babies being abandoned near me? If so, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Asking those kind of questions opens up new opportunities and hope in you. It really can.
Yeah.
So I would challenge you to go ahead and ask those questions bravely of God and see how he answers. And on behalf of those people who are actually doing the work here in the States, more power to you, friends. Thank you so much for that work. And may many more rise to stand with you. That's our hope. We have links to the story about the Abilene baby box at the firehouse there. We also have links to the project that inspired it here in America, the Safe Haven baby boxes. Those links are available on our website on the podcast page for today's program. If you want to hear more about what they do and why they do it and how they're doing it to inspire you to think and pray about how God might be able to save babies where you are, please stop by at CompassionRadio.com to see that and do it soon. And thank you so much for being with us today on Compassion Radio 360, where hopefully you'll hear stories of hope and hopefully inspired to think farther along that line about how God might use you to be a miracle worker where you are. That's all there again at CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you Monday morning for the next Compassion Radio, Chasing the Word.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before.
So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.